Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lara Brown joins us right now, our friend, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. Good morning.
Good morning, Tommy.
How you?
I'm well.
All right, let's talk about this whole Professor Blasey Ford, Judge Kavanaugh thing. Now she says she will not testify before a committee unless an FBI investigation or a different one is done in Judge Kavanaugh, specifically relating to her claims. Have I stated that correctly?
That does appear to be the case, that her attorneys have come out and written a letter saying that this should not be rushed, and that there should be an investigation of the matter before the testimony takes place.
So how does that change the dynamics of all of this? And does it affect her credibility at all? I know I saw Corker say that he said go along with the vote on Wednesday if she doesn't show up. Flake said the same thing. I don't know about Susan Collins or Murkowski. Do you know what they're saying about this?
I don't, not as of yet. I mean, I do think that what is important here is that Anita Hill did write an op-ed in the New York Times yesterday where she suggested that there should be an independent investigation to make this process of dealing with sexual violence and sexual assault charges more fair. She said that there should be essentially a neutral investigation body that then should present its findings to the Senate Judiciary Committee, and that should guide the Senate Judiciary Committee, and that that would be a way to remove some of the partisanship from these kinds of allegations and moments. Unfortunately, I just don't think that that's going to happen, given that we are up against a midterm election and the Senate is trying to vote, and you are seeing the Republicans saying, hey, we did extend a hand of faith, which is what Senator Corker suggested, and now we're kind of in this, who knows when they're going to vote, but everyone knows the Republicans want the vote sooner rather than later.
Dianne Feinstein has been criticized for holding on to the letter. I think we've covered that ground already. But yesterday she told Fox News that she could not, Dianne Feinstein now, could not be sure that Ford was being entirely truthful. She says, this is a woman who's been profoundly impacted by this. Now I can't say everything's truthful. I don't know. How damaging is that to the professor?
Well, I think the hardest part that is damaging is just that this was so long ago, right? And that is the place where this becomes a very difficult allegation and a claim to even investigate. I mean, I understand the desire for a neutral party investigation. I know that, you know, I myself have taken these sexual harassment training seminars in all of my places of employment. You know, there's a really strict adherence to process in these kinds of cases to ensure that there's fairness, both to the person who alleges abuse and to the person who's been alleged to be the abuser. But I think the difficulty in this matter is that we're talking about a 35-year-old claim, and that does pose problems. So even though there's some evidence that Dr. Blasey has, you know, brought it up before in earlier times, I think as early as 2012.
With the therapist.
She has taken, right, yeah, a lie detector test. You know, I don't think her credibility is really in question. I think the difficulty here is actually having some additional evidence that would prove the claim to be true when it happened at the time.
It seems to me, in terms of political chess, if the FBI launches an investigation, some are saying it wouldn't take that long, but it seems to me, if it's 35, 36 years ago, this is not going to be an easy investigation to conduct or conclude. So if the midterms are approaching, you can't tell the FBI, all right, shut it down, we're going to have a vote. So then it kind of, what's the word I'm thinking of, kind of paralyzes the Republicans, the Senate, who wants to have a vote on Judge Kavanaugh. Is that a possible strategy here?
Well, there's no doubt that I think, you know, that Democrats are seeing any call for delay as a win for them, right? Because all delay pushes this possibly into the midterm elections and into a place where there's a potential for more controversy to arise. Obviously, the Republicans would like to take these votes as soon as possible, have Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. And I do think there's just a lot of confusion about how does the Republican Party proceed in an expeditious manner and at the same time not upset, you know, sort of more women or suburban college-educated women who were already the swing voters in this election.
This, I don't mean any disrespect to anybody, but the ultimate thing here is that you're nominating and confirming a Supreme Court nominee that will serve for life. Judge Kavanaugh's in his mid-50s. Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill, has that affected his work on the court? And if this, for whatever reason, is forever attached to Judge Kavanaugh, as Anita Hill is to Clarence Thomas, will this have any effect on his work, on his judgments, et cetera, as a member of the Supreme Court?
I don't think we can know that, because I do think that at the end of the day, what we're really talking about here is a pattern of behavior. And what we're also discussing is whether or not, you know, character materially matters to the position that you hold. And I don't even know that, you know, there's a way to essentially judge Clarence Thomas in the absence of that hearing. In other words, it's quite possible that that hearing has chastened Clarence Thomas for his entire service and tenure on the Supreme Court, and that may be one of the reasons why he is considered to be one of the quietest Supreme Court members up there. He is rarely, if ever, sort of vocal on a lot of matters. And so, you know, this is where you're essentially speculating into a void, because you can't argue the counterfactual. You can't argue what didn't happen to know what would happen now.
Larry, we only have 20 seconds. They're screaming at me in the control room. There's a new book in your family.
There is a new book in my family. I'm absolutely delighted about it. Major Garrett, my husband, just published his new book called Mr. Trump's Wild Ride. And it's really, in so many ways, the first draft of history with regard to the Trump presidency and his first year in office.
Thank you. And that's available at all the outlets, I'm presuming.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Larry. Have a good day. All right.
Thanks, Tommy. Take care.
Tell a major hi. All right. Larry Brown, director of the Graduate School Political Management at George Washington University.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.